The following message is brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
God bless you, Minister Keeley.
Thank you, sir. God bless you. You good? Can I get a little bit of it?
Jesus is the best thing that ever happened. Oh, Jesus is the best thing.
If you believe it, stand on your feet.
Ever happened. Oh, Jesus is the best thing that ever happened. Jesus is the best thing,
Reggie,
that ever happened. Oh, Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me.
Hum it, just hum it for a little while.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yes. Oh, oh, hey, Jesus, oh, that ever happened, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, yeah, it ever happened to me.
Yeah. You got to know that. You got to know it. You got to know it. I'm going to tell you why in a minute. I'm going to tell you why Jesus is the best thing that ever happened. Yeah, yeah. Passed it down through 42 generations. He came. He kept coming through blood, through pain, through heartaches, through trials, through tribulation. The Lord Jesus kept coming through 42 generations. He kept coming. And he came for us, church. He done it for us. And then it happened. Many times in the Bible, you'll see that. It says, and then it happened. I'm so glad that it happened on the cross for me this morning. Can I get a witness? I'm so glad that it happened. That the nails that they drove, it happened for me. Hallelujah. The 72 thorns that they smashed on his head. It happened, Deacon, for me. The spear that the Roman soldier drove in his side. Oh, glory, that happened for me. By his wounds and by his stripes, I can say I am healed. Hallelujah, glory to God. I can say that my father is healed. That my father-in-law is healed. That my son is healed. That my grandson is healed. That the deacons, that the laypersons, that the congregation, I can say it because of his stripes. Oh, glory. I can say it that we are healed. Oh, glory. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. If you have your Bibles, turn with me quickly to the book of John. At chapter 6, the book of John, at chapter 6. Hey, yes, sir, yes, sir. Sometimes you just have to help yourself.
Yeah. Whew. I want to read a few verses to you, and then we will dissect the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he is the word, he is flesh, he is the incarnate God. He is God, the second person in the Trinity, the incarnate. Said, and in the beginning the word was God, and God was in the beginning. Amen. Thank you. We'll begin at the first verse of chapter 6. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs. Mark that, that's going to be important. Which he performed to those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. We got any disciples in here today? Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. And then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him. That's very important. Mark that. The multitude was coming toward Jesus, and they wasn't running away. Oh, glory. Some people today, you ought to just run away from them. Get away as far from them as you can. The fallacy and the fake news that they bring. This is the good news. Ain't no fake news today. This is the good news. Amen. He said that, and he said, now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. And Jesus lifted up his eyes, seeing a great multitude coming towards him. And he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him. And he himself knew what he would do. And then Philip answered him. I hope somebody's answering Jesus, the call today. Will you answer the call? Hey, 200 denarii, he said, worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. And then one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, small fish. But what are they among so many? You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I'm trying to hold this microphone. And I can use this microphone here. Amen. Thank you. So good to see you all this morning. God bless you all. We have had a challenging week, no doubt. Very challenging week. My pastor called me, I believe, on Monday, and we had a long talk. We talked for about an hour, and most of his concerns was for you all and for persons here, which we talked about. And I realized that he and I share the same love, the same affections, and the same hurt. But nevertheless, I know that God, he got us. He got us. So it started out on Monday, the conversation. I was all that day and the rest of the day, I was crying. You ever cry the inner tears? They don't come out on the outside, but it's like inner tears of sorrow and remorse and things of that nature. Well, I know that Jesus covers those things, but that was going on. And then on the following day, as I was working, Just to let you know, I was digging, and I hit a water line, and the utilities had said that the water line was somewhere else, and I hit it and busted wide open, and it was just spraying in people's house. I said, I just can't let this. So I got down off the excavator, and I jumped down in a hole, and I took a hold of the pipe, and I bent it back, and got it down to a trickle. Then I started to look for the place where you shut it off at. I couldn't find it. was so weird because earlier today when I was moving the items out of the way to move the equipment in, there was a tombstone, a Halloween tombstone, you know, the little fake tombstones? And I picked it up and I just slung it. Little did I know, I slung it right on top of the water main. I'm looking all around. So the owner told me, he said, Byron, it's in the front. We hunted until like 10 o'clock that night. I went ahead and called the waterworks. But they said, we're busy, Mr. Keeling, it's going to be a while. And it took them about 3 hours to get out there. So I said, I called a friend of mine. I said, do you have a metal finder? And he didn't have one. He said, but I'll put on my clothes and I'll come on out because he works construction too, and they do a lot of that. So he came on out in the middle of the night for us to try to get that water off. Finally, the utilities came there at 10 o'clock that night, and he got this little finder out there as a sonar, and it was beeping, and he found it. He said, here it is right here. I said, right here. And he took the tombstone, picked it up, threw it away. And I, you know, the Lord was telling me it's not in the front. He says on the side. And I looked, and I did not take that thing up. And you know, sometimes you really ought to listen to God. I've said that before. I should have looked more thoroughly. That is. So that was Tuesday. Then my wife had gotten back from Arkansas on Wednesday. She was trying to text me, and I was so busy still trying to make repairs and stuff that I didn't answer. I just asked her to text me when she got home. So I said, okay. My baby's home. And the next thing that happened was finally she told me that Uncle Fred Murray had passed away. And she was trying to get in touch with me, so she was a little distraught. And so there I was too. So now 3 days of incidents had compounded on me, okay, and impressing upon me, and it hurts. So I understand. So I said all that to say that I understand that when we come here today, we come here with so much weight and pressure. The pastor always said we never know what people have on them.
That's right.
So I wanted to encourage you to love each other just a little bit more.
Yes.
Just somebody wrote the song "Try a Little Tenderness."
Amen.
Back in the day, I forget who it was, but it said "Try a Little Tenderness," because you never know. People, they might look and they might dress a certain way or whatever,
right.
but you don't know the deeper hurt.
That's right. Wow.
Unless you're discerning. Amen. I think that's important. That was one of the lessons that I learned this week. Is to go deeper.
Right.
Amen. And you all know that I've been preaching from the sixth chapter of John. I think this might be my sixth time here at First Baptist preaching from this text. And so the Lord had already given me the word before the pastor had asked me. And I was preparing for it kind of loosely, you know, as I went along. And then finally, you know, the call came. And I always wait to be called. Pastor could tell you, he could contest that. I wait to be called. I don't bug nobody to preach or anything. I wait to be called. It's better
Amen.
To be called.
Amen.
That's why you know the Lord is working. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Do y'all hear what I said? It's better to be called. Stop usurping other people and trying to get in the way, and running on their line and stuff. Like you say, stay in your lane, wait for your call. Stay in your lane and wait for your call. Believe me, the Lord can use you more effectually. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. So I didn't choose. The Holy Spirit gave me this subject, a subsidized lunch. A subsidized lunch. I know that sounds weird to some people. Subsidized. Subsidies, dealing with subsidies. What's subsidized? A lot of times people don't want to let you know that they might be benefiting from something that is subsidized. There are a lot of things. There are a lot of commodities that are traded, a lot of companies that are United States and foreign countries that are subsidized by other corporations, by larger corporations. These people who are subsidized are, for some reason, do not have, if you would, the capacity to do all that needs to be done. They don't have the capacity to conform all the things, so they have what they call a parent corporation. Amen. Amen. And so, and then many times they don't have the fund, they don't have the fiduciary volume to handle the things traded or whatever, the things moved or the attrition factor and all those things that go into the movement of commodities, sell commodities, so forth and so on, the services. Did y'all notice that when we went back to war at Iran, the gasoline prices suddenly went up? Surprising to me, you know, then they suddenly went back down again. And, but we still moving soldiers to Iran.
on last week, Pastor said, imagine that. He said a whole army has showed up. And I thought about that. You know, the capacity of an army. I think when I was still in the Marines, we crunched down to 600,000 Marines. The army, I think, is twice as large as, I mean, three times as large as we were. I think the Air Force was even larger. But they crunched it down because they wanted to make it lean, okay, and more efficient, as the generals would say. We make it lean and efficient for the Pentagon because we had spent a whole bunch of money already, really. That's what it was, make it lean and efficient. So why am I saying all this? I'm saying all this because there is a time in our life where things has to be subsidized to us. Amen? Let me put it more clearly. I read, not in the pastor's pen, but he wrote just a small pamphlet to the new members. And I don't know if some of you seen that, but he talked about salvation in there, and I looked at that. And he talked about salvation and how, I think in Ephesians it said, that God done, Jesus done, what we could not do for ourselves. Amen? Y'all with me now? Y'all seeing what I'm talking about, subsidized? He done what we could not do for ourselves. Amen. So there came a necessity. The cross was necessary. Amen. It was necessary for Jesus to go to the cross. I don't mean to blow your mind today, but I just wanted to make things just a bit more simple by first using myself as an illustration to you to let you know that I am not so big, so high, so mighty. I'm the opposite of all those things. That I cannot stop and love, help someone. Even though I might have just looked at my account, seen how much I had, but, you know, listen. Maybe somebody else might need it a lot more than I would. And they said, my brother-in-law was sitting right over there. He said, be a blessing, and the Lord bless you. Right. Learn how to bless people. And I found it to be true. So on that note, I wanted to also ask you all, just putting it out there, if you could give the Lord a raise this year. Whatever you've been given, up your tithe just a little bit. Give the Lord a raise, amen? I done that last year, and I'm telling you, it's phenomenal.
Amen.
The Lord have done for me.
Amen.
Let me also, I had forgotten about this. 11 years ago, when I was first diagnosed with prostate cancer, one of the mothers of this church, the mother sent me a prayer cloth. I still have it. That's olive oil on there. A little stain, but I left it on there. But it was amazing because I wanted to talk also in this verse about the dunamis power. The dunamis power, the word dunamis in the Greek is similar to what we use as dynamite. Dynamite, the blast. You know things are one way, but when they are hit by the power of dynamite, they become another way. Pastor says, you don't have to come in here. You don't have to leave the same way that you come in here. We hope some dunamis power will be shed and shared with you all so that you'll leave here differently than you came. Amen?
Amen.
I know most people come in here, they want to leave differently than what they came past. They don't want to come, you know, with the same burdens. Most of our burdens are mental. It's the mindset. You have to take on the same mind of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Yeah, I find most of our burdens is a mindset to seek out help, to be technical sometimes, to worry sometimes, but mostly just be concerned. Just have a concern because the Lord is concerned about you.
Right.
He don't like for us to worry, amen? But I'm being real. I know that we do.
Yeah,
Bible preaches, teaches against worrying, amen?
Yeah.
So I'm saying all these things to get to the point. I'm getting to the point. I looked at God's immensity. I've talked about that before in the glossary of terms. There's certain things you got to know about God to get a better understanding of what is being preached, okay? You know what I'm saying? You got to believe that he can.
That's right.
Amen? You have to believe they can do it.
That's right.
You have to go with full faith. Straddling the fence. You got to have full faith.
That's right.
When it comes to dealing with my Lord, I don't know what Lord you serve, but you got to have full faith.
Well,
you know, Lord, I'm going to turn it over to you. Turn it over. I had to do that this week. Things were challenged. Pastor, I'm not going to say warned us, but he said, hey, look, you know, in 2020, you know, we'll have to see ourselves as God sees us. But don't think that the road is going to be easy. There are going to be challenges, amen, along the way. Amen. Are y'all up for the challenge? Do we have any warriors in here today? Huh? We have any warriors? Anybody with me? We're up to the challenge. God is immense. God is immense. He fills all space. You have to gather this in your mind, that God fills all space. You have to imagine the small stuff and the big stuff. Amen. God is immense. Then there's the idea of creation. We'll see this in the text, the idea of creation. God is the creator of all things seen and unseen. God is creator. Amen. Sometimes it blows people's mind, but the devil is God's devil. God is the creator. Angels are created beings. Oh, amen. Lucifer was an angel. He was a created being. We are the crown. Man is the crown of God's creation. Having mentioned that, we'll see in one of the other texts about manna, because it talks about the bread. Jesus kept telling him, like, y'all ate Moses' bread. I get it. They came and fell out of heaven. They said it was grind in the meals of heaven. It fell, and it was sweeter than honey. Amen. But it wasn't me. Jesus said, that wasn't me. I am the bread of heaven. God was taking care of your temporary needs to get you through the desert. And he fed them until Joshua and his troops and his army came up upon the banks of the Jordan. Amen. Somebody preached that one time, and when they crossed over the Jordan, the manna stopped falling, even though they kept it. A couple weeks ago, that's what Reverend Lampkin might have mentioned, what was in the Ark of the Covenant. One thing that was in the Ark of the Covenant was a manna that fell. They kept some of it. Amen. They kept on reproducing just that piece. Amen. But manna, amen, you do the study, was first used for the physical healing of the Israelites, for those who believed that they could be healed. Amen. To get through the desert. That's what they fed them, just for the physical thing. But they had to believe. Amen. So there was a transition between what was physical, amen, and what was spiritual. Are y'all with me today? I got to tell you all this because you miss the miracle here in John. We take it so lightly. We all the feeding of the 5,000. We don't do that. He done it, but you'll miss the miracle if you don't get these precepts and concepts that I'm telling you about right now. Amen. I know I'm a little different preacher today, but we need to learn as we go. Amen. Pastor tries to do it all the time. He's an excellent teacher. He's an intellectual. Sometimes I talk to him, he blows my mind with how much he knows about stuff. Something I used to know. And I go, whoo, yeah, that's right. Blows my mind. I'm not, you know, trying to put you on a pedestal, but I'm saying it just blows my mind sometimes with the things he says. So he's different. And he's going to have a different edge than other people, because most people, I know some intellectuals. My children are intellectual. They different. They think differently. They behave differently. Pray for him if something that he does or says is not quite meeting what you think is your need. Pray for him that he will open up. Because sometimes when he open up, that's even more dunamis. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Amen. Just letting y'all know that our pastor is approachable. Yes, he is. I call him whenever I want to. I show up whenever I want to. Hey, Keeling. What's up, Doc? It ain't nothing. Like I said, I hardly call him Charles. He said call him Charles. But then, next thing we'll see in the text, we'll see the diminutive. And that's, I gave you the definition of that, the diminutive case. And I kind of tickled when I read this. I think Spurgeon had exposed the diminutive case that was used in the text. Because early on in my relationship with my wife, she always called my stuff little bitty. Get your little clothes out of the way. Get your little stuff. I'm like, why my stuff always got to be little? You know, so she always used a diminutive, but she would just be playing with me, a little stuff. Don't get offended about the little. So the opposite thereof is augmentative, the larger, the full thing. We use diminutive and nicknames. Chuck, they call Charles Chuck. That'll be the diminutive of his name. Y'all get it? Charles, if put in a correct enunciation of that British word. They say it a lot different than what we do, by the way. But it's a king's name, amen. It was meant for royalty. Subsidize, that's why we talked about earlier, to furnish with subsidy, to add or to promote someone, promote someone, excuse me, someone or something as a private enterprise with public money. That's how they use it in the secular world. But Jesus paid the price with his own blood. He subsidized us, Reverend, with his own blood. He paid the price. He paid it all up. Paid it all full. Paid it all forward for us. Y'all get it in a minute. He subsidized us. I've been subsidized. In verse 2, we see what is called the multitude. Dealing in a larger case, the multitude followed him. Very important, again, the multitude followed Jesus. They followed him. Why did they follow him? Because they seen his signs. This, in this year 2020, we'll be dealing with the word see and saw a lot. But we deal with it in the spiritual. You walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. We're going to deal with it in the spiritual. What do you see? Do you see others as God see them? It's okay for you to want to see yourself as God see you, but do you also, help me now, see others as God see them? Do you see others as the children of God? Do you see his mercy and his grace upon others? Do you? Or what else do you see? That is what we're challenged with. If we want to see ourselves as God sees us, we also have to see others as God see them. I see you healed. I see you prosperous. Amen. Second thing we see also in verse 2 is that Jesus performs his own miracles and signs. Jesus didn't have to hire nobody. Amen. Pharaoh had to get Moses to show him a sign. Jesus didn't have to use anybody. He self-performs his miracles. John noted that there were 8 signs and 7 miracles in his book, in the Gospel of John. I said earlier before in some other preaching that he is a symbolic writer. He uses symbolism to illustrate, to help us out. We are in our poor human minds that are so supposed to be so sophisticated, Brother Leon, but they cannot really ascertain what is going on. He performs the work himself. The multitude in verse 5 comes, not only do they come to Jesus, but they follow him. We have to be moving towards Jesus as the multitude. I'm looking out, and I think we have just over probably 50 people in this church today. We are just one group that they had sit down for the feeding of the 5,000. They were divided in groups of 50. Y'all read y'all text? They were divided in groups of 50, and he told them to have them sit down in groups of 50. There were 5,000 men. So therefore, there was probably even more people there. Amen? I don't know why the Bible does that, but it always seem to favor the men that were there. That'll be a later study, amen? But we would just be one group sitting in the grass getting ready to be fed. Just one group, amen? Of the feeding, amen? Hallelujah, glory. Yes, sir. Let the Holy Ghost work today. The basis of subsidy that we see comes real quick. He says, Jesus asked the question, where does the money, where does the help come from? And to whom shall it be distributed? What are we going to do with it? How is it going to be allocated? Where's the help going to come from when we start to talk economics and politics and things of that nature? They said, what are you going to do for the poor folks, Mr. President? Because you seem like you're always for the rich folks. What are you going to do for the poor folk? All right, tell it. Some of the Republicans subsidize some things. The Democrats subsidize something. You notice that now the billionaires are coming into play. People with money, no money, to say, hey, look, I think I can tell you where the money needs to go. This is how it's happening in the secular world, but in the spiritual world, the world of the unseen God who manifests himself in so many different ways, Jesus asks, where does the money come from? There was a little bit of money, It was a day's salary, the 200 denarii, just one day's salary, just one day's pay. That's all he had for 5,000 plus people. That was evidently not enough. Amen. And what we bring to the Lord is not enough. Our little gifts that we bring and stuff, please. But he puts his hand on it. They said they gave it to Jesus. That's all. They said whatever they had, when Andrew said, here's a little boy's lunch, they took that. It was a little lad, okay, with small fish. Amen. Few loaves of bread, the barley loaves. They said that was the cheapest bread that you can get, the barley loaves. I know at some point we used to go to the bakery and get the day-old bread. I don't even know if they let us do that anymore. Anybody do that? Don't raise your hand. We ain't going to talk about your subsidized. We used to go get the day-old bread. That's what grandma and mother had to do to make things suffice. Amen? And I'm talking to anybody today. One time, I think we were doing some work for Panera Bread, and I didn't realize how much bread they gave away. People pulled up all the time, and they just gave away bread constantly. Mm-hmm. People just racked out there, and they just gave away good, no, that Panera Bread or something else. They was just giving away. They have plenty. Yeah. Amen. The Lord blessed that business. Panera Bread, that's a Greek word. The signs and the symbolisms, the last lunch. The transfer of what was small to big, the miracle that's happened, the creation. God could do it because he created all things, first of all. He could take the fish and multiply it because he was a creator God. He created the fish. Anybody with me? He supplied the wheat. He made the wheat grow in the ground that was pulled and grind down into the finer bread. He made the hands to put all that together.
Right. It
stuck the bread in the bakery, in the oven,
right,
and baked it. The same hands that stuck it in there, maybe some other hand came and took it out in the process. But he made that. Everything in motion, he made it. Amen? Mm-hmm. Don't miss it. It's all his. It belongs to Jesus. So he can do it. Mm-hmm. Say that. Say he can do it.
He can do it.
You got to download that into your spirit that he can do it. Don't doubt. Mm-hmm. Don't doubt him today. Amen. The idea of salvation, I talk to you, is that God done what we could not do for ourselves. It's all been set up. It's been laid out. This is a very familiar text that I'm reading to you. But I wanted to share with you Peter's sermon in Acts. Because, and maybe some at some other time, I'll expose the rest of the bread of heaven and the manna. But the point is that people don't believe that Jesus is the bread of life. They didn't then. They did now. Miracles are for people who don't believe. Signs are for the people who do believe. Moses said, you will see signs along the way. Moses was a type, a generation of Jesus. But the things that he done was a type to show the sign that he was going to come along through the generations, not as a leader, as a king, as a high priest. All those things were signs, and they kept seeing him. So they said they followed him, those who were knowledgeable about God, because of his signs. And then it says they also followed him because of the miracles, because of the disease. So I'm going with Jesus. Look, this guy is making people, the blind, see. Bethsaida, he made the man who was lame, the paralytic, for 38 years. Some of us only been sick just for a little while, and we can't believe that God does it. But he was sick for 38, so his legs were good and limp. Amen. His muscles were gone. You ever been in a cast? I had a cast one time when I was in ninth grade. I broke my ankle. They took that, I already got skinny legs. They took that cast on my legs about this big. And I couldn't even move the muscles. You know, the muscles had stopped even working. It's amazing. But I'm saying this man was lame for 38 years. And the bread of heaven had him to walk. But he asked him, do you believe? There's no one to take me down to the pool. And that's how we whine and complain. Lord, I don't have enough money to get my medicine. Please, trust him. He will provide. I'm telling you what I know. I'm telling you what I know. The Lord will provide. Yes, he will. Hallelujah. If you trust him and believe. But I'm going to turn with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 2. I want to expose something. I'll leave y'all alone. It's 12:30. Amen. I'm going to expose something. Ooh, goodness. I'm going to start at verse 14, even though this is talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. That the apostetics and the holiness and stuff, you know, this is their doctrine of when the Holy Spirit came in. He poured out his spirit upon man in this event. But let me say, this is Peter's sermon. The one that Andrew's brother in the text, Peter, right? Andrew went and got him, remember? Andrew went and got Peter and said, the Lord, I haven't found him. Because they knew the sign. They were following the signs. Oh, y'all, I'm teaching today. You know, the difference between signs and miracles. They seen the signs and what they were telling us that was written in the scroll, that was unfolded, that was read in the temple. They said daily. Remember, the Lord picked it up and read it himself. Jesus picked it up. And then age 12, and then for 18 years, Pastor, we didn't hear nothing else from him in the book until he was 30 years old. Nevertheless, this is called Peter's sermon. Listen to this. If I don't have a gift for anything else, I can read. Come on, man. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the understanding. You can read, but you don't understand. But the Lord give me the understanding. It says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea, you can say men of College Hill, North College Hill, Avondale, wherever y'all from, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Joel is from the Old Testament, right? Here's what he said. He said, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. All flesh will be subsidized. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Hey, we've seen that. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Thank you. I'm an old man. And my manservants and my maidservants, and I will pour out my spirit in those days. Are we living in those days? And they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven. There's your wonders. And then signs in earth beneath. This is Joel who's writing. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. They said that the sun refused to shine when Jesus was on the cross. Before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord, it shall come to pass that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord, I like this part, shall be saved. There's your salvation right there. Whosoever call on the name of the Lord, well, y'all to be happy right now, shall be saved. Then he goes on, he says, men of Israel, College Hill, North Avondale, North College Hill, Mount Healthy, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs. Miracles, wonders, and signs. He was a substitute atonement. He was a sacrificial atonement. And he was a propitiatory atonement. All right. He covered out miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him where? In your midst. He didn't do it outside, Reggie. He done it in our midst. He's pouring it out even now. And as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose of the foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death. I'm so glad he didn't stay dead. Whom God raised up, having loosed the pangs of death. You ought to say, thank you, Lord. Because it was not possible, amen, that he should be held by it. God cannot die. God can't lie, and God cannot die. There's some things that God just cannot do. He is eternal forever. Whatever that means in your mind, it's even more than that. For the David says concerning him, King David, the undefeated general, this is what he said concerning. He lost some skirmishes, but he didn't lose no battles. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand. That ought to be comfort to somebody today, that I may not be shaken. You nervous? You worried about anything? The Lord is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Fear not. We seen that last week, didn't we? Tell them to fear not. Don't be afraid. There are more of them than there are more of us than there is of them. Fear not. Therefore, my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also rests in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades or hell. Ah, we are delivered. We are lifted up through the blood of Jesus today. Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruptions. He's talking about Jesus now. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Anybody full of joy in the presence of God? Can we rejoice today? Can we rejoice knowing that God is able? Rejoice in the presence of God. Then he goes on. He says, men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch of David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us this day. He's just letting them know that they're not talking about David, talking about Jesus. Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God has sworn with him an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. For he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ. These words are essential to Christianity. And if sometimes you don't know what to tell people, just go to this verse right here. Just show them. This is essential to Christianity. That his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus, he's a lily of the valley. He's a bright morning star. This Jesus, he's a lifter of bowed down heads. He regulates our mind. He soothes our heart. This Jesus, John, this Jesus. You know, our helper, the Jesus who is helper, the one who raised Lazarus from the dead. This Jesus, God has raised him up. Pastor always said, by the same power, it don't take no more power for him to raise Jesus than to raise you. But you got to believe it. I shall be lifted up. I don't worry anymore about stuff. My days are getting short, Brother Leon. I'm looking over to the yonder. I'll be raised up. I hope I leave somebody something here. But more than anything else, I want to leave you the testimony that I am a believer. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I will raise him up, in which we are all witnesses. Talking about the apostles. He said, I give some apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers. The apostles seen this. That's why he can attest to it. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, what did he do? He poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into heaven, But he said himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Amen. A subsidized lunch. A substitutionary atonement. This, my brothers and sisters, is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
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 Doors of church are open.
Stand to you.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.